Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. It's my pleasure. It's always a pleasure and like a dream come true for me, really. As I continue to celebrate 9 years on the air, and couldn't do it without our good friend Gary Moore being here. Gary Moore is a longtime friend of ours and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Gary is a former vice president of investments at Payne Webber. He is he writes now on investing, and he also is an investor. He advises people on investing, especially ethical investing. He's got a number of books out, including the one I'm holding in my hand, Faithful Finances 101. He's our good friend Gary. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, it's good to be with you again.
It's good to have you back.
Well, I tell you, I was telling you a minute ago, I'm from the print media. I was with both UPI and the New York Times Syndicate down
right here.
And it's a sad state of affairs when you can stay on the air for 9 years.
And I did it in spite of myself, Gary.
Well, it's because you're so humble, Jim.
Well, I know that's exactly right.
Crime fighter. If
that's exactly right, yeah. It's hard, and you know, as Mac Davis used to say, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way.
Hey, it's not bragging; it's just fact.
That's right. That's what Dizzy Dean said. It's not bragging if you can do it.
You can do it.
Gary, here's an interesting little tidbit that was in the Wall Street Journal this week. It was in the op-ed piece. I know you saw this. Let me read this to you. This is a quote from Robert Rubin, who was the Secretary of Treasury for Mr. Clinton, and is now what many consider to be the Democrats' party's leading economic spokesman. Here's what he said. Now, this is a smart guy. He's actually one of your peers, isn't he? He said, "You cannot solve the nation's fiscal problems without increased revenues." Now, the government actually has increased revenues, but he's not talking about increased revenues. What he really meant was increased taxes, didn't he?
Yeah, well, it's the same thing, basically.
But no. Wait a minute. I don't agree with that because we actually have increased revenues as a result of cutting taxes.
Okay, I see what you're saying. You know, the tax rate is what you're saying. We've increased,
but he uses
taxes,
the code word
tax rate.
He uses the code word revenue, but we know Mr. Rubin, and we know that he's like most of the other Democrats and many Republicans. They never met a tax increase they didn't like.
That's true, Jim. And let me begin by saying that I'm a lifelong Republican. I've been an advisor to Jack Kemp, Bill Bennett, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm not a flaming liberal, but we Republicans deserve to have this loss, Jim. We did a very, very poor job of explaining the state of the economy to Americans. I'm not sure it wasn't intentional, Jim, in some ways, because I do think the Economist magazine this week said the growth rate is slowing down in the world, and it's going to create some real problems for politicians as the baby boomers age and so on and so on. And maybe we just didn't have our heart in another 8 years or whatever of this environment. I don't know, but you know what the article you were referring to actually says is that the federal government is running a deficit of less than 2%, which is not significant by most measures.
Mm-hmm.
And if you add in states, Jim, my friend Ernie Fletcher up in Kentucky took office, and there was a huge deficit, the governor up there. And I think when I was up last week, they were saying he was going to run $500 billion ahead or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you add in states across the country, which are flush with cash,
right,
governments at all level are running pretty close to a balanced budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's one American in 100 who understands that. And if they don't, it's our fault. And I will tell you, I went to a private meeting with the guy who became the congressman from my district here, and he railed about the fiscal and irresponsibilities in Washington. And I think we did a lot of it to ourselves.
Well,
and when I took the congressman, by the way, over in the corner afterward privately, I asked him if he knew the size of America's assets and the fact that government was running nearly a balanced budget at all levels. And he said he had no idea. And he basically explained to me that he was a car dealer and not an economist.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And that's the problem. We've got too many people, most people in Congress have no clue about how our U.S. economy works.
They really don't. In fact, it's interesting.
And that's the reason. See, that's the reason, Gary. You were talking about that you said we. You can lump yourself in with those 535 folks up there if you want to, but I don't want to be lumped in with them, because I think I'm a little smarter than that, because I do understand how the economy works, because I'm out here making payroll every day. But the thing is that the reason they didn't explain how well the government was doing, the economy is doing, is because they don't understand it. We come back. Gary Moore and I are going to talk some more about this right after these messages. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Are we going out tonight?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Gary Moore, the author of Faithful Finances 101. Gary, I quoted Mr. Rubin a minute ago, and I want to read on down a little bit more. I indicated that his word revenue, increased revenue, could have been taken a couple of ways. But if you read on down, which I know you have, he says this. This is Robert Rubin, ladies and gentlemen, the presumptive Democratic Party's leading economic spokesperson. He says, I think if you were to increase taxes right now, this is a quote, folks, if you were to increase taxes right now, you would have probably about zero negative impact on the economy, end quote. You know, Gary, he's a smart guy. Where does he get stuff like this?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Jim. It depends on how much he talks about, but I think this American economy, I'm not in favor of any tax increases. Let me begin by saying that.
Otherwise, we'd hang up on you.
But I can also tell you, I think people really underestimate the resiliency of the American people and the economy. I think this economy is so strong. The Fed has, basically increased interest rates how many times now?
17.
And I don't think they're having a huge impact on it. I just think this economy is so much stronger than people think.
But, Gary, you can't keep whipping a horse and make it go. I mean, small business is the reason why this economy is doing what it's doing. And the reason it's doing well is because we have access to capital. Even when we have to pay too much for that capital, we can still make it go. But, Gary, we've got to be able to leave that capital in the business so it can keep creating new productivity and new jobs, and taxing us doesn't do that.
No, it definitely doesn't. I agree with you there, Jim. But also, I think the primary factor in the American economy today is the low cost of capital. You know, interest rates are on the decline again.
That's right.
And Japan's about to lower their interest rates again because they're having issues and so on. And what people don't – let me put it in the terms of housing. That's what everybody's watching, Jim. Did you know we as financial planners forever, as long as I can remember, have basically said that people should not spend the upper limit on after-tax income 30% of their after-tax income on housing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Today, the local paper recently ran an article that said the average American today is spending about 21%.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't think, Warren Buffett is buying into some housing stocks. And I think this thing has mostly been jawboning. And
I have never thought we had a problem in housing. In fact, every time anybody, typically Kiplinger, has not said we were in a housing bubble, but my Kiplinger folks have brought up, the question of whether there was one. That's when we've covered it the most during those interviews. And I have said since day one, there is no national housing bubble.
Well, there's been some speculation, a little overbuilding.
Regional neighborhood stuff.
Yeah, and I think we jawboned that stuff away, Jim. But to say that there's an economic, really economic issues on the horizon because of housing being unaffordable to the average American is simply nonsense.
I agree with you 100%. 100%. Yeah. There's no question about that. But that's indicative
of the role of interest rates, Jim.
Right.
I mean, as long as mortgages stay down there under, what are they, under 6% or something today?
Yep, 5.5, I think.
Housing's going to be okay, and I think the same is true of the small businessman. And that also means, by the way, that the economy will probably stay good.
Yep. Well, the other thing, Gary, is that we don't have in government, we don't have a revenue problem. I completely disagree with Mr. Rubin. We don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem.
Well, I think the Republicans got that message last week, but we also need to understand, Jim, that a great deal of that is, if you look at the recent uptick in federal expenditures, for example, is military. We simply have to understand that wars are expensive, okay, and we have to pay for them, and we're either going to print a little money, borrow a little money, or tax a little money. It's just that simple. And so far, we've made the decision probably to print a little money, which has been a little bit inflationary. Inflation trends are probably at their upper limits right now. And I think what Rubin is saying is we probably, if this war is going to be extended, and Peggy Noonan, by the way, the other day in the Wall Street Journal, Ronald Reagan's favorite speechwriter, mm-hmm. says we're in for a 30-year war, Jim. If that's true,
In Iraq.
No, I think against all the forces, the radical Islam,
right.
and I
right.
emphasize the word radical Islam around the world, and that's going to be an ideological battle, much like the Cold War was.
Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be worse than the Cold War, because in the Cold War there weren't really any skirmishes.
No, I think it'll make the Cold War by the end of it, Jim, look like a Sunday school
game. I completely agree, because we have mutually assured destruction on the table in those days. Now, I've said for a long time, and folks, you know, I'm not a doomsayer, but I'll tell you, I am more worried about the future of the West and basically the world. I'm more worried today than I was in any part of the Cold War, and I was tracking it. You know, I've been tracking it a long time.
Well, my response to that, Jim, is yes. I definitely get depressed down here thinking about what's going on when I've got a son who's military age. I was in the military.
My son is in Iraq.
Oh goodness,
he's there. I mean, this is personal for me. When I see the Democrats and Republicans playing politics with the Iraq War, it's personal for me.
But it could give us the opportunity, if we wake up, Jim, and understand some of what's happening, it could give us the opportunity to turn the West around too. And I see signs of that today.
Well, I think there is, but we've got to have everybody believe in that, not just one side. Stand by, 10 till. We'll be right back. Gary Moore is our guest. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog. Gary Moore is our guest. He's our good friend, the author of Faithful Finances 101. And, Gary, we need your website, and you need to tell us where the book's available, please.
Financialseminary.org, and the book is on Amazon.com or on my website.
All right, check that out, financialseminary.com.
.org.
I'm sorry, financialseminary.org. And can they find your Templeton book there, too?
Yes, they can get it.
Words of Wisdom from Sir John Templeton? I don't have it in front of me.
Well, it's actually Spiritual Investments was the last one.
That's it, yes.
The one you're talking about is out of print now, Joe.
Okay, but Spiritual Investments is the one I was talking about.
Okay.
Because it's got the John Templeton.
That's on Amazon, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I encourage you. That's a great little book, folks. Buy two and give one away. Gary, I'm not hopeful about the prospects for small business under a Democrat Congress, because they've come out saying they want to raise taxes. They've come out saying they want to raise minimum wage. I'm not hopeful about that. I'm also worried about the Democrats' attitude about the war on terror, about the people, about the dangerous world that we live in. I think that they don't, they seem to not get it, especially when they want to not approve the nomination of John Bolton to the UN, who's doing a great job of holding the UN accountable for what they're supposed to be doing up there. Now, when I hear those things, I'm not hopeful about the Democrat Congress. Now, do you have some way of making me feel a little bit better about that?
Yeah, and we should begin by saying I'm the ultimate small business person. My wife and I sit here and run our investment business every day without even a secretary, Jim. But let me also say
Your wife told me you were her secretary.
I should have said that a different way, shouldn't I? She's my partner.
She told me you were her secretary.
Well, and then that's probably her perspective. That's okay. But big picture, Jim, is I'll go back 10 years ago when everyone was talking about the federal budget deficit. I wrote an article that compared the budget deficit and the debt to a bug on the windshield of the economy. And I said, look, okay, it's not going to slow the car. The only danger is if you get so focused on that bug, you forget to look at the road ahead. I would say the Democratic sweep of the Congress is the same situation, Jim. I don't think it's going to do a whole lot of good for the small businessman, no. But I will also say don't let it take your eyes off the road ahead. I am not going to let them stop me from pursuing what I think is right and my success in life. And is it a positive for the small business person? Probably not. It's going to be a little bit more of another bump in the road that they're going to have to overcome. Will it keep them from getting down the road if they keep their eyes on the road ahead? No, and that would be my encouragement.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's well said. I like your bug on the windshield analogy. Well, the thing that my audience knows how I get about increasing minimum wage. See, if they increase taxes, one day down the road, somebody can lower those taxes. But when they increase minimum wage, that minimum wage will never come down. It'll never be lower. It'll always be higher. And basically, you know, increasing minimum wage, what a lot of people don't realize, it'd be like the government saying that oil companies can only charge $2 for a gallon of gas.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as price fixing gasoline, or which a lot of people might think that's a good idea. But what happens 20 years from now when they can't produce it for $2 a gallon and they just quit making it?
Well, economically, it's a little bit different, Jim, in that minimum wage will simply be passed on in the cost of things, i.e. will contribute to inflation.
It's inflationary.
And
right.
Inflation hurts the poor a whole
That's
lot
right.
worse. We wealthy people who have assets like real estate, stocks, and so actually benefit from inflation.
That's right. That's right.
And inflation is insidious, though, to the people who are living on minimum wage.
And that's the reason why it's a false argument by the Democrats, and it's basically a sop to the unions, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it is, and it's a political thing as opposed to an economic thing.
That's right.
There's a lot of that in the country, but the real issue is, and probably the worst issue is that it probably causes more automation and the elimination of menial-type jobs,
right.
Food service industries, and so on, what we call entry-level positions.
And
it'll end up probably hurting the poor.
And encourages outsourcing overseas, too.
Yeah,
we'll do that too.
Definitely do
the
that.
The thing that they don't want, that they claim not to want. Hey, Gary, give us the website one more time.
Financialseminary.org.
Thank you for being here. Good job today. Thank you for helping us celebrate.
Take care, buddy.
Okay, see ya. Gary Moore, ladies and gentlemen. Faithful Finances 101 is his new book. Check it out when you get a chance. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and don't forget, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.